Hello, welcome back. This is Millennial 2019, of course. I was meant to be interviewing Orwell and Good at this point, but unfortunately his Wi-Fi has gone dead, so he can't appear. I did have a pool of people who could fill the gaps if in such an eventuality as this. So one of them is Annika Skywalker, who appeared, some of you will remember her from her appearance on Millennial 2017, 2 years ago now. And she's also known as that robotics chick or that Swedish robotics chick. She's American, but she looks very Swedish. So some of you will remember her, some of you won't. So Annika, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
Hi, I'm no longer a robotics chick. I now do biotech, and I'm more on the investment side of it. I don't build robots anymore, but I help fund other people's projects. Some of them are robotic and electronic in nature, but the majority of what I'm doing now is helping startups get funding, and then I'm involved in the actual business development side of it. So that's fun, but I still love robots.
So is this like bionic and cyborg and cybernetic stuff?
Some can it, that would definitely fall under the category of what I do right now. The few projects that I'm working on, one of them is a cure.
Before you go into this, can you raise your volume? People are saying that your volume is very low.
Just a moment. Let me actually just.
That sounds good.
Okay, how's that?
Yes, that sounds better.
I think they say one MMA fist from the mic.
Oh.
Okay. Is that?
That's good. That's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a wee bit too loud, in fact. I would say.
Okay. How's
that's
that?
Good. That's great. Okay. That's great. Okay.
Okay.
So you were saying about bionics and cyborgs and cybernetics.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of the stuff that I'm working on, one of them is a cure for a rare form of dystrophy. It's limb-girdle muscular dystrophy. It often kills people before they ever reach adulthood. It's where all of the muscles. So when you use your muscles, you break them down. Well, if you don't have, depending on your genetics, there's like a sugar. It would be very complicated to go into how it works, but those muscles don't rebuild. So we have essentially a cure. I mean, functionally, it's a cure, but it's a treatment that you have to take every day. It's just a small dose to cure that. So that's one of the big things. And then I have something I'm working on that pertains to epilepsy, and then another one with migraines. And then I have an investment firm that I work with. So I'm kind of in control of the funding for all of their different projects. And that's over 31 projects now. So, but some of it I would say is bionic, surgical robots, things like that. So.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm thinking of Star Wars and RoboCop, and maybe that's not quite the references that you were hoping for.
Well, my, like I said, my position is on more the paperwork side of it right now. So I'm not actually like physically building anything.
Mm.
But
do you miss that?
Sort of. I mean, the thing I don't miss is running into a problem and spending 3 or 4 days and finding out that it was something like a capacitor, or you know, it's just something super simple that I should have known. I think robotics on your own is really expensive. So a lot of the projects that I did, I had to be paid in advance, and you don't have the same creative control as you would if you were just working on your own projects. So,
of course.
But
all right.
Anyway.
So you wanted to talk about your previous appearance, which is on Millennial 2017.
Yes.
I think at that time you and I were chatting on Skype.
How we met is we got in a fight in your comment section. Or actually, sorry, I think I started throwing shit at you and you just kind of took it. And then you challenged some of the things I said that didn't make any sense at the time. But you were very nice to me. Which I didn't expect. And then we kind of started talking, I think, on Twitter, and then that turned into Skype. And then after about a month or so, you were doing Millennial and asked if I wanted to come on. So at the time, I considered myself a disenfranchised liberal.
And so I was still trying to figure out my views back then. And immediately following Millennial, my Twitter DMs were filled with support. I'm getting emotional thinking of it now. I counted over 100 messages and emails that people had sent through my personal website. And then a couple of people looked me up on Facebook, and it was not one negative comment. I mean, it was just people writing me really, really long messages too, telling me about how they appreciated me being on there, even though I'm not alt-right, and that they were happy to see that I was on this journey and that they had gone through similar. I mean, some people wrote some really personal things about their own views and kind of where they had started out. And, you know, I was like on step 2.5 of 10, and now I'm probably about 8.5. I'm not quite to the 14 words yet, but,
Interesting target to have. Actually, on Millennial 2017, two people did say the 14 words. Of course, I tried to stop them, but their enthusiasm was such that I just couldn't intervene in time. And, you know, but anyway, obviously, nowadays it's a very different climate on YouTube. So, yes, scary.
Yeah. Scary stuff. I've stepped back from uploading. Jacob and I at the time had our podcast, which we'll bring that back on at some point. He's actually watching right now. He was my technical director, and he was kind of he was the second half of the podcast, but he had messaged me a couple of moments ago telling me to boost my audio levels back when you were telling me so. So he and I will have the podcast again. It's just going to be a matter of time, and we'll probably have to use BitChute.
So. Why?
YouTube.
Right.
I mean, I talked about the migraine crisis quite a bit back in the day. So hold on just a second. My neighbor, give me just a second.
Did she say the migraine crisis or the migraine crisis?
I said migraine.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Yeah, well, we did. And I spoke about that. We all did. Loads of people spoke about that back in the day. But yeah, of course, things change. And I know what you mean. I'm not going to give my own perspective on this because I've done it so much already. So you talk about it. You talk about YouTube now.
A few weeks ago, I got 3 video strikes, all in the same, 3 hours. And these were all, it was all within a few hours' time. These were all, they were all, privated videos. So I don't know, what their new policy is, but, it's just, all I know is that they're definitely not, they're not kind on the whole migrant thing, with opposing views.
So. Were the titles such that?
No, they weren't. So
it must be a bot that's actually looking through.
It's got to be reading through. So I know that there's a transcript that's made available. The topics, one of them, we use the R word in it quite a few times. Now the strikes, just so you know, the strikes didn't put a ding on my channel. I'm still in the green. But they made me remove the videos. So I just got an email about it. So I removed them. Right now I only have 1 video that's public. It's I went to a talk Charlie Kirk gave out here at the University of Houston. And, while I was there, I guess I was the only one live streaming. So Nick Fuentes, used my stream. The unfortunate thing is that they did not allow us to get close enough to where we could get decent audio. So, so Fuentes was using my video for it. So I got a decent amount of views.
Right. I see. Yeah. Somebody said this at the start that, and I hadn't heard of this, that something to do with Nick Fuentes and using your video.
Yeah. But, he used it for his D live stream.
So. Right. Okay. So, all right. Let's talk about what the situation was at the end of 2017, and as much, you know, clarity as you're comfortable talking about it now on YouTube, and you know what happened after that, because I think, well, what happened was you and I were chatting. I invited you onto Millennial. That introduced you to a lot of my fans at the time. And then what? Because I think you were sort of, you were at that time, you weren't sure about how much of my ideas to take on board, basically.
Okay, so back up to 2008, I believe, 2007 or 2008, I was living in Los Angeles, and I went to a protest or a rally or whatever you want to call it. I was on the pro LGBT, let the gays married. I'm just giving people a little context here. I was one of those, like, I didn't have a sign, but, and I didn't have purple hair, but I was definitely one of those telling everybody that I needed to, telling everybody that they needed to understand that, gays deserved the same rights as straights. And so back then it was, for me, it was just, about equality. And then now you fast forward to now, and I'm really just like, I don't think women should vote. I mean, I'm to the point now where I look at everything around me, and I see how, I hate using the word degeneracy because of the people that I associate it with, but I'm really to a point now where I think that we need to take a step back and say, do we need to let progressives continue to gain equality? Because they don't want equality. They want supremacy. They pretty much want to flip everything based on things that happened before any of us were ever born. So going back to where I used to be with my views, and now as of 2 years ago, right after Millennial, I reached out to another female who you had on Millennial. And because I felt like a lot of the things that she said resonated with me. She was also a former liberal leftist. She also, I later found out, had been very active, very vocal in the LGBT community on the other side of it. And I reached out to her and found out that she lived right up the street from me. Complete coincidence. And so she and I met up in person, and we started hanging out. And within 4 or 5 months, I was at her wedding. And that's where I met Lana and Henrik. So I met them in person. They were really nice. I gave them a ride back to their hotel. So the number of people that I've met in person, a very high number of people, like some of the Proud Boys. I don't know how you feel about them. Some of them are ethno-nationalists. I've met a significant number of people that are politically active in Houston that either recognize your name or recognize one of the YouTube groups that I've kind of traipsed through. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, I didn't know actually how involved you were with IRL socializing or how much you had been in 2018.
Yeah.
What I knew about was that you appeared on several live streams.
Yeah.
That was the thing when the blood sports thing was going on just for like 2 months, I think it lasted. I mean, really by the end of February, I think it pretty much died out. But it was a craze. What even was it? God, like, it's funny to look back on it. At the time, so many people were excited about it, including me. And now I can't even remember really what it was. But I think it was the idea of putting two people together into a Google Hangout or whatever, and just, like, who would not have much in common, and they'd have a fight.
Are you familiar with Rules of the Kumite? I can give you. Okay, so there are certain rules similar to how actual debates are done. There's certain rules, like you're not allowed to lie, you're not allowed to smear, you're not allowed to dox, you're not allowed to bring up things that aren't actually relevant. Blood sports, I thought that's what it was going to be like. That also, you're not allowed to make accusations without receipts. There are a lot of times that people may argue and just not get along, and they'll just start making accusations at one another. But at some point, it becomes defamation if you can't back up what you're saying, or if you say, "Well, I heard this." You can't say things like that. Well, blood sports, I don't. I, this is I think there's a lot of reasons it failed. One of them is that if you remember the episode that I went on, you just kind of,
wasn't it?
Yeah. And this is weird, but I don't dislike Roosh, and I don't have any reason to believe he dislikes me. He and I knew very little about one another. We just knew that our views were opposed. And, we were both being told behind the scenes to kind of, you know, get it, kind of amp up, which is what we did. But then after the stream, a lot for even up until just a few weeks ago, I still have a lot of his fans that don't realize that it was blood sports. They think this was like real life. They think that like Roosh and I have this ongoing beef and we've spoken to one another like once or twice ever and then went our separate ways. So, I will say there's a lot of people in the YouTube comment sections that don't understand jokes. They don't understand sarcasm, and they don't understand that.
There's a lot of spurgery, a lot of autist. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to be rude, and I'm not trying to like shit on the little people in the comment section, but you do run into a lot of people that don't understand that this is like the YouTube thing is people aren't 100% themselves. Like, I think that they expect it to be like real life. And when you're only seeing, like even you on your videos, I've read through your comment section. I've seen some of the insane shit that some people say. And I'm like, where do you draw these conclusions? And I see it in everyone. I mean, I don't watch people on the left anymore. Not very many, unless they're really funny. But like the majority of the people that I follow now, I go through their comment section. I'm like, I don't know if they're their followers or if they're just people that hate follow, but you do get a lot of just ignorance and people who
that bothers me. There's a lot of simplistic stuff, you know, like statements that are made. And this is why I think the movement got too comfortable. But at the same time, I think that's inevitably going to happen because if not
with every movement,
yeah, it's going to become just the momentum of people joining and joining for specific particular reasons. And then they'll reinforce that stuff. And it's going to happen. I do think that it's more chaotic than in most movements. I mean, we're not sort of 24/7 purity spiraling and constantly refining everything down to a rock hard orthodoxy like they are on the left. Yeah. There's still a lot more, you know, chaos than that. But are a lot of, frankly, I hate to say it and sound like a complete simp, but it is true that there are a lot of angry guys in the movement. And look, I don't, there are many legitimate reasons for them to be angry.
I agree.
That's the thing. But unfortunately, their anger doesn't necessarily help them to either come across well, win friends and influence people, or to be happy with themselves.
I agree. I don't know what the solution is, but I think especially, you know, we've discussed the MGTOW in the past. I think the trying to discourage other men from getting in relationships and procreating and creating families, like trying to talk men out of, especially young men that are ages like 18 to 20, trying to discourage those men from finding decent wives and having children, that's what the leftists are doing. I mean, a lot of the MGTOW, if I say that they're like the feminazis, they think that I'm using horseshoe theory and they get mad. It really, look at what are they doing? They're trying to discourage families. They're trying to discourage relationships. They blame all of another group for their own shortcomings. And yeah, they do have some, I mean, I'm completely red-pilled. I'm not speaking ill of the red-pill community here. I'm all for reality but there's no nuance in a lot of the MGTOW. Somebody just said MGTOW is a dead end. But if they just went their own way, I wouldn't have a problem with it. My issue is that they don't go their own way. They go into the comment section of every other YouTuber and like you said, spurg out. Somebody else mentioned something a few seconds ago that I wanted to.
But it's not just MGTOW that we're talking about. Is it's the, there is this problem of, you know, spaggery and anger, rage in the whole red pill community, I would say.
Yeah. I think they do have some legitimate grievances. I don't think they're going about it the right way, though.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. I mean, this is why I do think, you know, we should try to be civilized and polite and come across well. We should try. I mean, I've always thought this, but I think it's become much more obvious recently. You know, people, when you say optics matter, someone says, you're a cuck. Optics, it's just a coward's way out and whatever. Yeah. But look, you're dealing with people. If you approach anyone, this is why it sort of interested me last night what Dangerfield was saying about market manipulation and how to get customers and stuff. People are people. They're not going to respond. Like, if you just tell them the truth and you tell them in the most brutal way possible, and that will bring them on side. That will convince them. No, it won't. It'll make a lot of them run a mile. And those are, and not just cowards run a mile. It will make good people run a mile as well, because they just assume that you're a nutcase. So, and that's, so we do need those people, right? So one of the ways that people who decry optics claim that this stuff doesn't matter is they'll say, we don't want the cowards. We don't want the ones who run away from the truth. It's not that simple. There are many people who are useful, potentially useful, good, well-adjusted, capable. But if we don't approach them humanly, we will not win them. And so I think there has to be this nuance and just good sense about this.
Okay, I want to plug a couple of things. One is mine. If you guys are familiar with iHypocrite, I have on Tuesday evenings, I do a live stream with him. He got a couple of channel strikes, so his main channel is down. But if you guys know who iHypocrite is, LP, it's called Sex Wars. And we talk about, it's fun. We try to make it as lighthearted as possible. We go through the news and we comment on stuff. A lot of it ends up being the stuff, the transgender movement. But it's very lighthearted. We don't get too serious about it. We try to make it fun. And the reason I'm doing that with him is I really just got bogged down with being an internet activist. And what brought me back to YouTube was that I was going to actual events. Like Jacob and I were going to protests. We went to like all the different marches, right? So like I think the March Against Sharia was the first big one that he and I attended together a few summers ago. So even though I'm not doing a lot online anymore, I'm still very active politically in person. And a lot of the reason I'm not online is I just don't like the response from the men. Like back when I started my channel, I addressed all females. I mean, the majority of women, the majority of people that were following me were women because I was doing the robotic stuff. And I had a lot of girls in STEM kind of content. So I had the majority female following, but my comment section would be women making intelligent remarks and then MGTOW coming in talking about how women shouldn't have jobs and things like that. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine in your own home, but maybe some of us want employment. I don't think they're going to get anywhere by just yelling at women the same way feminists don't change men by just yelling at them.
I think what would you say about this? We can agree that there are angry guys and they're not good at communication. That tends to be a thing with men. Women tend to be more social, more verbal, more articulate than men. And so you do get a lot of these guys. They understand that something is wrong with the world. They understand what's wrong with the world. They are, I think, too aggressive in trying to communicate about it. They're clumsy about it, crass. But also their demands, I think, are often simplistic and aggressive. You know, because yeah, it's bad. But what do you think about? You're still involved in all of this, so. What are your views now? I mean, at this point?
Well, I'm involved. I'm hands-on. I've got a couple of projects that I don't want to bring to the internet that I'm involved in real life, things that I fund. There are a couple of YouTubers that I watch regularly. You would be one of them if you uploaded, but No White Guilt. Are you familiar with him?
Yes, of course. He'll be appearing on Millennial later.
Okay. Well, tell him I said hi. I've DM'd him a couple of times on Twitter, I told him that I really appreciated that he, so one of the things that I notice on the right is the purity spiraling. And I think we may have touched on this a couple of years ago, you're never going to be enough. And I have a female friend, who had, Bree, you're familiar, right? Her and Mark Collette had, This Week in the Alt-Right together. And, she has a tattoo, but the men on the far right think that a woman with a tattoo is just an automatic whore. So despite the fact that she is a married woman who will have plenty of children, and she is not slutty by any stretch of the imagination, she is not accepted by men on the right because she happens to have a tattoo. And I spoke to her just a few weeks ago about this. She said she wants to go get another tattoo. And just, it's kind of that rebellious thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know how productive it is, though.
She has a reason she wants to get a tattoo, but she said that it's annoying to her that there's something so stupid about like having a tattoo, or if you drink alcohol, that's something. And I know you don't drink for, you know, medical reasons and just you don't want to drink. But when we get to a point where we can't accept anybody who's not perfect, who's left?
Yeah,
and one of the reasons...
Yeah, this is a massive thing because you can always find reasons not to work with someone.
Yeah.
And not to interact, not to be friends with someone. This is something that on the right, we're too bloody good at doing.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah.
So for myself, I thought, well, I'm relatively conservative. Even when I was a liberal, I've never shown clear. I'm the way that I carry myself in the real world. I'm a relatively conservative person with my sex life and the way that I dress and such. But I see the men on the right, it's never enough. If a woman is faithful to her husband, if a woman has plenty of children, if a woman is a stay-at-home mother and homeschools and goes to church, she will never be enough for the right. So other women that I've talked to, and I'm not going to name names, there's a few relatively popular, more right-leaning YouTubers that have quit, because they're never going to be enough. If you're conservative and you carry yourself well, then the men on the right tell you shouldn't be online. Like somehow that's, so we're losing female voices. And I think I mentioned this a couple of years ago that I thought this was going to be the case. And that's, so the women that I know that are on the right that stopped doing YouTube or stopped being active online with their views, their voices are going to be drowned out in real life by leftists, because leftist men listen to their women. They give them a microphone and they give them a stage to speak. Conservative men do not support their women. Conservative men say, get at home, get in the kitchen, do the motherly thing. So we're not going to get a lot of conservative voices. So when we have these marches that are like the Women's March, it's going to be all leftist women. We're not going to have conservative women there. We're going to have very few. Because their own men don't support them. And these conservative men, I don't think they realize that women are kind of driving culture.
Mm. What would you say about the idea that women should be having children and should be in the home, being loyal wives to husbands?
I think that you can do that and you can also run a YouTube channel. Like, I don't think it's either or. I don't think all women should have lots of children. Not going to go into the details of that. I think that if you really strongly don't desire to have children and you don't have a lifestyle that, I don't think people should just have children just for the sake of doing it. I think that's a poor decision. I think that culturally we should be more accepting of women having babies. It feels like both the right and the left tear women down Like I've heard even conservative men consider women who want to be stay-at-home moms as being like leeches and that she doesn't want to contribute. So I'm like, okay, well, so we have conservative women that can't be stay-at-home mothers. They can't take care of their own children.
Yeah, because they're men. That's just, at that point, it's just self. It's completely self-defeating. I mean, those conservative men saying that are just moronic, as far as I can see.
Yeah, so I think it'd be very difficult for a woman to raise, say, 4 or 5 children and also have a career and have her children grow up and be, you know, healthy psychologically.
Well, yeah, but I guess the idea would be that she shouldn't have a career. She'd just be 4 or 5 children.
But if the men don't support their women in staying at home, if they consider them to be losers, you know, gold diggers, because she wants to raise children instead of bringing in an income.
Yeah. I mean, there is also the issue that in this day and age, can a guy support a wife with 4 or 5 kids?
No. Women flooded the market, and then in the West, we're bringing in migrant labor. So, you know, can get
some. But then some would say that the solution to that is to have the labor market again by encouraging women not to work. And then the man would be earning enough to support a wife and 4 or 5 kids.
I agree with that, but we have to have men willing to support. It's going to be a slow process. And in fact, I've had this conversation numerous times recently with other people about how do we go back? Because it's like a shim. We wedged women into the workforce like a slow drip or kind of a fast drip, you know, over 20, 30 years. You can't just pull them out. You know, and then
I agree with this. That's why
culture needs to change. That's why men need to support their women, and women need to understand that it's okay to trust your spouse. The other problem we have is a really high divorce rate, and no fault divorce is going to be an issue because women finding themselves, you know, mid 40s with 3 or 4 kids that are grown and no work history. And now divorced, they would be in a situation where they're going to be living in a small apartment as a cashier. I mean, I really can't think of a job that a woman that hasn't worked in 10 or 15 years could do, especially if she still has mouths to feed.
See, this is the problem. In so many ways, our society is simply screwed. You know, I can't think of there's no tidy, clean way forward out of this. That example you just gave there illustrates you'd have to, so many things have to be in place. Men have to be, they have to not leave the women destitute. Yeah. And the woman has to be loyal to the guy, prepared to not work for 10 or 15 years. Yeah. And so forth. So all of these things have to be in place before you can have people safely entering these situations. Right now, we don't have that those circumstances.
I was hoping that the right was going to be the life raft. I was hoping that if enough people on the right actually did what you and I just both described, I thought, well, maybe even if just 10 or 15% of Americans did that. I mean, there's Latin Americans do that. Like Mexicans come from Mexico and they have that same. Actually, in Texas, now that I think about it, the women often out earn the men in Latino families, but I know the immigrants, I should say, they tend to be a lot more traditional in that sense, where the woman stays at home with the babies until they're older.
So if they can do it, then presumably white people could do it as well.
Yeah.
I wonder why is it that they can do it if, you know, and we can't. But again, you see, I think there are a lot of guys in the chat who are getting worked up, and I don't say that patronizingly. I think this is an unusual stream. You are an unusual guest. I think it's worth saying that you are not, most women are not like you in the sense that
all the women I know are. I live in Texas, so.
Right. Well, what I mean is they're not hyper capable, highly intelligent, and going to make a unique contribution to the world that, you know, no one else could. I think you are pretty much like that. Most women are not, and so I think you know, from my point of view, I have no problem at all with you being in business and so on, because, you know, how can I possibly judge that? You know, I wouldn't be good in that world. You are. You're doing something good, having an effect. So it would be absurd for me to say, you shouldn't be doing any of this. You should be having 5 kids at home. It just seems silly. It seems that if I said that, I think I would feel afterwards that was just, that came from anger and insecurity in me.
Not everybody is cut out for the same lifestyle. I think
I'm not, see, the thing is, and I'm not just saying this as a simp again, I'm saying this because I'm not intimidated by you. I like that you're a capable, intelligent woman. I don't find it scary, but I know, I understand very much why a lot of men would. And, you know, we live in a world which holds men down all the time, tells them to be ashamed for being men, doesn't train them in how to be manly. And then they see a woman like you and they think that it's annoying for them. It's aggravating. Can you understand?
Yeah, I mean, but I wasn't born this way. I had mentors. I had male and female mentors. And I was fortunate that at a young age, I focused on the things that matter the most. Like I was a very late bloomer with my virginity. I think that's one of the things that kind of helped keep me on a good path. A lot of people don't realize I was in my 20s when I got my first kiss. So it blows my mind when I hear 16, 15, 14-year-olds having sex. I'm like, that, like, there's so many ways to not have sex when you're that age. I mean, there's so many other things to focus on. And I think that it's going to sound stupid that I'm putting a lot of my, I'm going to use that as my, I really think people should hold off on having sex. Just to get blunt. I mean, Hypocrite and I have talked about this. LP, he's actually in the chat. I saw him a minute ago. He and I have talked about this on our live stream. I think the sexual deviancy, we need to nip it in the bud. I think that's going to be the starting point. Honestly, hookup culture needs to go. Men and women, we need to go back to dating and courting, where men and women meet and they like each other and they go out a handful of times before they even, you can make out on the first date. I don't care. But like, people can't just be fucking, we need to get rid of Tinder. I'm sorry to curse on your stream during Christmas, but I think that's the starting point. Cause I've thought about this for hours and hours and hours. And I really think getting rid of reversing the sexual, whatever the progression, I really think that if we could go back to not shaming, shaming is the wrong word, but if we could go back to it being socially acceptable and encouraged and applauded for women to stay at home, raise their families. And I see this on Facebook once in a while. Like I have friends that, you know, stay at home moms, and I see other people applauding them for doing a job well, a good job at raising their children. And I see men speaking about their women in such a wonderful way, you know, their wives. I think that needs to become a cultural norm, and then women will feel comfortable being stay-at-home mothers. Men need to be appreciated as well. I think that needs to be a big thing.
The whole thing needs to change. That's the problem that we've got here, right? There are
baby steps.
There are lots of guys making legitimate points about the way things are today. And
women are in control.
Yeah. Hold on a second. They're making legitimate points and saying, well, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work. That wouldn't. I understand. There needs to be a change in the entire culture. The trouble is, we're not going to get that. This is the trouble. You can't just demand that everyone behaves as if it's a traditionalist society. Because it's not going to happen, and then you're setting yourself up for severe disappointment.
And we were raised in this. That's the other thing, is if it's all you know.
Yeah.
And then the majority of the people that I know that didn't participate in a hookup culture, at least younger, like, you know, early 20s, are religious or they're actual incels. I mean, that's the majority of people that are between the ages of 20 and 25 are either sexless or they're whores.
Yes.
It's, you know, so I think we need to nip the sexuality, the kind of the way we're just a hedonistic society. I think we need to start there.
Mm. One thing I would say is there's somebody said earlier, Dusan said, how to marry when an 18-year-old girl has already had 30 dicks in her. Now, look, that, yes, you can find an 18-year-old girl who's had 30 men inside her. But,
yeah,
I mean, it's, I think that is a, I can't, maybe I'm being naive here, but I don't think that's very, I don't think that's the norm.
That's not the average. It's not.
I mean,
every time they do these, just so you know, every time they do these studies, it's with like a sorority in a certain school, and it's like 15 to 30 women that they follow for 2 or 3 years that are all in kind of a clique. That's all those studies that I've seen where they're having 30 guys in a year. That's
I don't find that believable even today. I mean, you know, I've had, well, I'm not even going to go into my own experience because that's private, but I know quite a few women and I don't believe that kind of thing. I mean, see, the reason I say this is that guy's acting as if that's the norm. That's what we're all up against. An 18-year-old girl has already had 30 men inside her. I don't believe that.
I think that
is a creed of despair and defeatism.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. It is. I think the men that I hear that make those statements are the same as the women who think all men are rapists. It's a way of just trying. They're trying to kind of muddy the water.
Yeah, look, I'm sure that this guy, I'm sure that there is an 18-year-old girl who's had 30 dicks in her. I don't doubt that. I'm just saying that when you act as if that is the norm, well, then you're just excluding yourself from having to make any effort at all because you've told yourself that all of the girls are whores and you don't stand a chance. You know, I have to say, in my experience, and you know, men today are as fucked up as the women, just in a different way, just in
porn.
Different ways. Whether it's whether it's porn or incelism or incelery.
Or
sort of extreme vanity where the guy just goes through one woman after another. I mean, I've seen all of this. And so it's very bad to me. It's sort of aggravating when I see guys on my channel, because my channel is vastly male. It's like, I think it's 92% male. And they just act as if they've never, like men have never done anything wrong. They don't do anything wrong. It's pure female vanity, thoughtishness, and all that's fucking everything up. That is not, it's simply not the case.
I'm glad you said it so I didn't have to. The other thing that I've noticed is a lot of these guys, it's not just there's no nuance, but there's never one positive thing that they say about any woman ever. If it's an amazing woman, I mean, I've seen people shit talk Karen Strawn.
Right.
Like call her a what's the word they use? Oh my God, a grifter. So any female who gets out there and says, you know what, I'm going to take one for the team. I'm going to ruin my reputation by standing up for men's rights and what I believe in. And to call these women grifters, I understand we do have women that do that. We have men that do it. They're like the male feminists.
Yeah.
But they're women.
Another point that's just been brought up is that when women sleep around, it's much worse. And I agree.
Yeah, I
for
agree
for every
as well.
Reason, for social reasons, for moral reasons, for sexual
biologically,
reasons.
Biologically, we're supposed to pick one guy and stick with him.
Yeah, yeah. So believe me, I'm not blind to this. It is a lot worse. And it's also, I mean, frankly, a woman simply cheapens herself when she sleeps around, when she's a slut. It's simply a case.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think that you can say the same about a guy who's, it's, I mean, obviously it's bad.
That's your mating strategy, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's male human mating strategy. Now, if we want to have a functional society, men need to not do that.
Yeah.
We can't have them dropping babies in everybody because then their resources are going to be spread too thin and they're not going to be able to take care of their family.
Yeah. And also that they won't want to settle down because they, you know, he knows that he can get umpteen different women. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's chaos. But then that's what we have. I mean, as you said, in the people 20 to 25, they're either incels or they're what would you call them? Just Chad sluts.
Even if they're not sluts, they're overly sexual. Does that make sense? Even if they're not having sex, they're kind of, they focus a lot on hookup culture. So they don't see anything wrong with just making out with a complete stranger in a bar that you don't even know. Like I've seen girls, there was, I want to say it was in like Rolling Stone or one of those. They were asking these young girls, the early 20s, they were in college, about how often they have sex while drunk. And one of the girls goes, "Oh my God, who would have sex sober?" Like it just, yeah, that was her reaction.
Well, I mean, that says a lot about her that she can't have sex sober. Yeah. I mean, that speaks volumes.
So.
That's another very mixed up
model. Not to be like the grandma that comes on here and is like, "You guys, you whippersnappers, stop having sex." But I really, really think that's where we need to start, is getting rid of hookup culture, encouraging young men and women to date and court and not fuck around. We don't have to do it in a shaming way. Does that make sense? Like, I think
in a traditionalist society, we would be shaming people, but now that's not a strategy that would work. It simply wouldn't. I mean, you know, you can say that we should, I mean, some guy's saying that I'm too naive. Look, you go ahead and do this and see how far you get, right? You're not going to get anywhere at all. You're just going to sound like an angry, lost guy trying a tactic that cannot possibly work, alienating himself from everyone around him. That's the reality.
That's what happens.
You are the one who's being naive here. I'm sorry, because I know you're a loyal viewer, and I've seen you all over my comment sections, but what you're saying here is naive. Yeah. You can't, in this day and age, you're not going to shame young women. I mean, I wish you could.
I agree. And I mean, I know enough women and I know how women think, that when you shame them, look at the abortion. Why do we have "shout your abortion"? Why do we have women bragging about how many abortions we've had? It's because we decided to tackle abortion instead of with empathy and saying, "Hey, you know, we really care about the lives of unborn babies." We do the shame. We hurl shame at them and call them a murderer. And they're like, "Fuck you, I've had 10 abortions." That's kind of, that'll be a great soundbite, right?
Yeah. it's terrible. Popularizing of abortion as something trivial and, you know, unserious is awful.
I think it's because being a rebel is in, and anytime we shame a behavior, the rebels come out. I mean, it's almost like with prohibition. Every woman wants to be a flapper now. You know, you tell us that we're not allowed to have sex, and they're going to inflate their numbers just to piss you off.
Because they can. In a traditional society, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Encourage courtship. Encourage us going back to guys not expecting a girl to put out on the first date. You know, guys actually courting a girl and making her feel good, because that's how you're going to get her in the end anyway. You know, make her feel special. The online date, I wouldn't do online dating no matter what. I don't know why anybody does it. I recently was on Tinder for an incel. We did it for our live stream. And I was flipping through different women on Tinder for him, and it was just garbage. So it was one leftist after another, after morbidly obese, just the garbage that was on Tinder. I don't know why men use it.
I don't know. I've genuinely never looked at it. I've never been on it. Someone says the shaming doesn't work anyway. It turns off everyone, and leftard women, who are the majority of real sluts, just laugh at the shaming anyway.
Yeah, that's a more succinct way of putting it. So,
yeah, I mean, look, there will be guys angry at me for not, I don't know, disagreeing with everything you're saying. But I just think we have to live in the real world. Because I've been in this for 6 years now, and I've seen a lot of people saying it in despair and desperation. How are we going to get things back to normal? And we should, and the techniques are often, frankly, lacking in social intelligence. The ideas that people come up with have not been thought through. And I'm sorry to say that. I used to come up with them myself. You know, I came up with ideas that I now think that simply wouldn't work. You know, experience with socializing and being out in the world makes you realize, no, that was unrealistic and naive of me. I think that we should be less eager to condemn each other for discussing these things with an open mind.
Yeah.
The chat today is kind of electric with people saying offensive things about you and me.
That's fine. I'm used to it.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. I honestly, that's one place that I've gotten now that I'm really happy or very content with, is that I don't care anymore. Actually, LP is helping me with that. I was still getting a little bit offended once in a while, and I think he's really helping me with the whole just telling these people to fuck off. And not, because when everybody logs off, that's what matters. When you go back to your life, when you go back and you speak with your friends and you have your relationships in real life, that's the thing that matters. Not what some stranger who you're never going to interact with again, hopefully, had to say about you on the internet. And if they're wrong, it really shouldn't bother you. Like, yeah. If people, you know, people can pass judgments. I'd like for most people to have to upload YouTube videos in order to comment. I think it would change a lot. Could you imagine if you had to upload just one video before you commented?
Someone's saying that, so you can't be shamed. You sound like a leftist.
It's okay. All right. Well, then he didn't hear anything we just said. That's not what I was saying. I'm saying is that, and what I believe you're saying as well, is that the shaming isn't working. We shame people and they just become more prideful of opposing you. We say it's horrible to have an abortion, and we try to shame them out of having an abortion. And what do? They brag about it. Now we get unlimited articles. I don't even follow leftists on Twitter anymore, and my feed is still filled with women bragging about abortions, like, you know, from articles.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Again, we have to be realistic about what you have to try to meet people where they are, instead of being outraged and angry that they're not already where we are. That's the point. So it's, you know, I know that sounds very wishy-washy, but I think I'm just being realistic.
Bring this topic up with No White Guilt when he's on. Ask him what he thinks the solution is. I'll watch that. I would love to hear what he has to say.
Okay.
So I think just hearing him talking about accepting people, you know, even people that have had previous drug history, you know, people that you have to understand that not everybody, we're not all born in the same situation. So we don't, I mean, I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this in hopes that other people hear, but we all have a different starting point. And for some people, getting involved in leftist politics is just natural because of where they were born, how their family raise them. So I think encouraging people to do the right thing, i.e. have families, not be promiscuous, things like that. I think being encouraging of good behaviors is going to be the way you're going to win a lot of these people. We like to feel good. We don't like to feel bad. So if you just shame people, they're going to walk away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it would be better if we were a positive movement rather than one that just delighted in shaming everyone and disavowing everyone and keeping everyone out. This is the whole problem. You know, we want to grow. And of course, we want to maintain standards. We don't want to just accept anyone and all that. Yeah. But I think we have to be more intelligent about this.
Yeah.
For those
asking about my genetics, I actually got 23andMe done. I am 3/4 Irish, almost 1/4 Swedish, and a touch of German. So that's according to my genetics. So,
congratulations. Yeah. Someone says, Annika saying that right-wing men don't support our women degrades so many men who sacrifice for their women. I would appreciate her qualifying statements, such as Spergs on the right don't support our women.
Yes, I agree. Thank you for bringing that up so I can clarify that. I meant the Spergs, and I also, yes. Okay, so you're right. I think I kind of went a little hyperbolic there with that statement. Let me think. I would say Spergs on the right, and I would say it still feels, I don't know, maybe it's just where I live. Then it feels like politically in public, there's not a lot of support for right-wing women to have a voice. I could be wrong. you know, I was being a little bit hyperbolic with that, but men on the left definitely support their women being politically active. 100%. They would prefer their women do the politicking. So I'm not saying that that women should be taking over politics on the right. I don't want anyone to misunderstand that. But
my friend Pale Hominid, in reference to your DNA results, says respect from a fellow potatoid.
Yeah, I'm an O'Brien. So
okay. Someone says if a guy wants to have children, knowing that the woman had sex with 50 guys before him, it's not appealing. Of course it isn't. I agree.
Yeah.
Of course.
People should still have standards. But this is why I said, I think encouraging, maybe this generation is over. I don't know. I don't want to be negative, but I think encouraging people to do the right thing. I have a few women that I follow on Twitter who are very proud of the fact that they're not sluts, and they're very vocal about it. And they offend leftist women. Who are just offended by the fact that they live their life differently. I think encouraging women to, men making comments instead of telling women how hot they are. I think men focusing, I should actually cover this on my channel. I've got a really long idea, and we're actually coming up against the hour. But I think a lot of it is the mating strategy for men. Men, the short-term mating strategy is to go after someone who's hot. Right? To spread your seed. Somebody who's just sexy right away. The problem with that is that's not how you're going to find a mother for your children. Not a good one. So.
Well, this is the terrible conflict. Women want a guy who's safe and will provide and protect them, but they also want the dangerous Chad.
Yeah.
Rebel rogue character. Men want the cuddly, homely wife is going to take care of the kids, but they also want the dangerous women, etc. So it's something that there's this conflict that afflicts both sexes in different ways.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go through the super chats then, because I'd forgotten all about them. All right. Annika, would you get Millennial Woes on the Sex Wars podcast?
Actually, yes. We'll have you on when you've got some time.
Okay, thank you.
We'll definitely bring you on.
What is Annika's stance on the Coomer question?
So a Coomer is like a baby boomer, like a little young boomer.
Can somebody, we'll move on to the next question. Can somebody come up with a definition in the live chat for Coomer?
Okay, please. Yeah. I think it's like someone who's a boomer, but they're young, but they still act like a boomer.
I think it's good. I'm not sure that is what it is. The thing is, I first started seeing this a few weeks ago, and somehow it's one of these things that's kind of passed me by. So I'm not exactly sure. Okay, yes, I thought so. Okay. It's a chronic masturbator.
I was way off.
Addicted to porn. That's what I thought it was. I didn't want to say it. And okay.
Okay.
So what is your stance on the chronic masturbator question?
You and I will go into detail. Your views, my views, and LP's views when you come on Sex Wars. How's that? Because that's a really long, just a really quick answer. I don't think porn should be illegal, but I do think it affects people. Mm. So I don't like this whole, you know, men can masturbate all they want to bondage porn and anal gang rapes, and like it doesn't affect them at all. So,
yeah. Okay.
Oh, a Zoomer, I think, is a young boomer, I believe.
No. A Zoomer is a person from Generation Z, Generation Z.
Okay. So born. I'm a boomer.
That's what a Zoomer is. That's Generation Z. I think it's like 1995 to about 2010. Something.
I, hypocrite, just said Coomers get the bullet.
All right. Okay, how is the political situation in the robotics industry?
That's a good one. So in many of the major universities, engineering students are now required to take social justice classes, or else they cannot get their bachelor's degree. So, they're trying to inject diversity, all of this. the feminism into even engineering curriculum, which affects robotics. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Give it 10 years. Robots. Yeah.
All right. Studies in Britain have shown that women want to have children and families more so than men do. The question then becomes, I mean, I can't verify that. We'll just take it on trust just now. The question then becomes, why aren't men stepping up and how do we enable them to step up?
You answer that one. You're a man.
Oh, God.
I think women need to.
Okay, here it is. It's something I usually say. It's about all sorts of problems that men face, is improve yourself, because then things will start to happen organically, naturally. You will find it easier to attract women. You'll find it easier to keep women, and so on. So, and women will trust you because they will see that you are a capable guy who can look after, can keep the money coming in, maintain things so that you're not going to end up destitute. You can hold down a job, that kind of thing. Therefore the women will trust you and respect you, look up to you, and things will be much more harmonious than if you are an insecure loser. You know, yeah. And I'm not saying that anyone is who's in the chat. I'm just saying those are the two extremes. You want to be closer to that end.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
Men need to mentor other men. Also, they need to make friends with other men. Men can't do it alone. Women can't do it alone. I think a lot of the incels that I've spoken to, one of the biggest issues that they have is broken families, broken homes, I should say, and very few friends, if any, from a young age. So isolation, I think, is a big thing. So I think men need to be able to express their emotions to other men in private. Don't cry on a live stream and make yourself look like an idiot. But I think men need to be able to reach out to other men and ask for help. In improving themselves.
Okay. And so. somebody asks, sorry to cut you short there, but
no, that's fine.
Based on what I just said about self-improvement, enabling men to attract women and so on. And it makes women more likely to stick by you and trust you and so on. Someone said to me, how far has that philosophy gotten you? Meaning me. And I can tell you that it's got me as far as I need it to get me. And that should be enough of an answer for you. Put it this way, I know what I'm talking about and I'm speaking from experience. So, okay. The next question. So basically, we should make the behavior we want to see more of fashionable. And I think that's true. If we are able to do that, then yes, obviously we want to make it.
The problem is the media isn't run by us. Advertisements, commercials. Every time I'm on YouTube, I see a commercial of an interracial couple. I see plenty of advertisements telling women that you can have a much more fulfilling life if you just save all your money and go on vacations as opposed to having a family. We need people like us to rise to power, and we need people like us to take our resources and use those resources to spread these messages. I mean, I'll live in a small apartment for the rest of my life if it means that all of my extra resources can go to make the world around me a better place, whether it's helping individuals directly or there are numerous ways that I do this, but I think that it's really important that we get people with our views to rise, because as long as the media is feeding us this Marxism shit, we're on a treadmill.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Okay. Awesome surprise guest. It is very interesting hearing people's journeys and different ideas. And then he says that something that basically Spergs are a problem. So we need to get that under control.
It did take me a while to realize it was Spergs. I think with you a couple of years ago, I had some grievances along with some other females that had spoken to you. And I thought it was all men, like, in the movement. I thought it was right-leaning men. And then you had told me that it that it was specifically MGTOW, and then everything kind of clicked into place. It was like, oh, okay. And then from that point on,
I don't know. I don't know if they would call themselves MGTOW.
The specific people that I had an issue with when I would click on their profile.
Yeah.
I would go and they were all MGTOW. It was all, self-titled.
Yeah. If you go to their profile and look at the channels they're subscribed to, they're often, it's just an array of MGTOW. And so you see that they're getting this constant diet of stuff telling them that women are just awful and you can't trust any of them and all the rest of it. And no woman will ever love you. They're incapable of love and all this. And it's just, I mean, I know for a fact that is absolute bullshit. I know from experience that that's simply utter bullshit.
Yeah, the women can't love one is funny to me, because I remember when I was much younger hearing that about men, you know, women saying that men were incapable of love. And of course, those were far leftist women. Those were feminists. And now I hear men say that, and it's again, it's that, it's the horseshoe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, moving on. What do you see in iHypocrite? What is it that you like about him? He's a mean Nazi who got humiliated in debate with Vosh. I can't remember how to pronounce it. So what do you see in him?
So the live stream that we do every week is a lot of fun. We go over interesting things that both he and I like. A lot of it leans more towards anti-feminism, I would say, just because the nature of our views. We don't agree on everything 100%, and I like the fact that we don't have to agree. One of the problems that I had with Jacob is that over time, we became the same person. Like, we had we couldn't even debate anything. You know, there were no two sides to every story. It was both he and I, we would talk about a story and then we had the exact same opinion about it. So it wasn't as interesting. So, I don't care if people don't like LP, people don't like me. I'm sure he gets messages all the time saying, why the fuck is that girl on your show? So, I don't really care. He's a good guy. I like him. Our views align enough, and I like what we're doing. So that's what I see in him. So, and he is a very, not to just kind of not, I don't want to kiss his ass, but he's proven himself to be relatively transparent and I don't know what the word is. He has integrity, I guess. So those are the two things that I like about him. So,
all right. I didn't know that you were doing this podcast, so I'll have to.
Yeah, we've only been doing it for a couple of months now, so.
Right, okay, I'll have to listen in and see what it's like. All right. Okay, I think that's it. There aren't any more Super Chats. If anyone wants to post any, do so now, because we're about to close off. We've gone for an hour and 10 minutes, and I'm on the offensive. It's due on in 10 minutes from now, so.
I got to let you go then.
Okay, should we wait for see if there are any more Super Chats going to come in? I don't know. Should we give them a chance? Let's just say.
I will say on Twitter, my DMs are open. So if anybody wants to message me and ask me questions directly, give me a couple of days to get back because it's the holidays. But
yeah. This is a guy saying this. Sorry, but men are 50% of marriages fail. 70% of those failures are initiated by women, by unhappy women, and men pay 90% of child support and alimony. Sorry, but men are not going to play that game anymore. If you want traditional relationships to return, gut the highly profitable divorce and custody industry. That's where you target your energies.
I agree that that's where we need to target, but men and women need to do it together. Just blaming women isn't going to get us anywhere, and just blaming men isn't going to get us anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's kind of like the refugee thing and multiculturalism. There's no point being angry at the refugees and the immigrants. You've got to be angry at direct your ire towards the people who are organizing all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. All right, I think that's it. No more Super Chats. What I would say is there seem to be a lot of guys here. I don't know how many of these people are regular commenters. I do recognize some of you. But I don't know how many of them are people from who have just heard about this stream and have come over onto my channel to attack Annika.
That's fine.
But what I would say is I understand the problems I understand how real they are and how complicated they are. I'm not blind to it, but I don't want people to think that this channel going forward is going to be a home for this kind of empty, just angry women hating and this endless resentment of them, because it doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help you. And I just don't want to encourage this stuff.
Yeah.
What I want is to help people. And I don't think that sort of basking in anger and resentment is going to help anyone. So if that's what you want to do, you will just get banned from this channel if you're going to post this kind of shit. Because I don't want it.
Close, real quick. People that speak like that, it took me a while to realize those people are very unhappy in their own lives. And that's why I've chosen to ignore it over the last year or two. I get comments all the time just because I'm female. And I used to respond to them, but now I just realized, no, it's not me. It's them. And so I've reached that kind of level of zen where I'm glad that I'm not reading those chat messages, but yeah.
All right. Someone's saying Annika is very likable and intelligent, but she doesn't want to have kids. Do you want to answer that?
No, I don't want to discuss my personal life, but they are extremely off. So, people can continue. I don't discuss my personal life anymore because I've had actual real life threats made. So I don't want to discuss family or anything like that. But I can guarantee you that I will have at least bare minimum 5 children. That's a guarantee. So,
all right. Okay. So. All right. Okay.
Probably 8. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let's leave it at that. And this has been an impromptu live stream. Annika filled in for Orwell and Good. I hope to get Orwell and Good on another time. Someone says, if the dissident right ever wants to be taken seriously, it needs to treat women better than the left does.
Yeah.
Hold on a sec. It's scrolled up. Scrolled up and away. Not hard to be fair. Yeah.
Well, if women want to be happy, we need to treat our men better.
Yes.
I mean, men need to be appreciated. And I mean, I quite like the idea of living in a patriarchy. You know, we have our responsibilities. And as long as we're good at, you know, taking care of the family, everything's fine. All right. Well, you go. Thank you for having me on.
All right.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, it'd be good.
All right, we'll bring you on Sex Wars.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, in the meantime, I'll be back soon with On the Offensive. Thank you, Annika.